Very good.
Okay, you're here. Can you hear us up here? Roy's gonna set balance here, and I will pull it back. Lord bless us.
How are you doing, Roy? Everything okay there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. You know, I was just thinking, as the children were exiting the auditorium, sometimes we say to the children, "Now, come on, smarten up, act like adults." And Jesus says to the adults, "Smarten up, act like children." He says, "Unless you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God." So it's a delight to be here with you. Let's pray this morning that we all have the simple faith of children and accept the Lord's offer of salvation to all. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third Gospel in the New Testament. And I want you to turn to chapter number 8 this morning. You know, sometimes people say, "Do you have a favorite book of the Bible? Do you have a favorite chapter of the Bible? Do you have a favorite verse in the Bible?" And I suppose it's okay to have chapters and books and chapters and verses. I don't know if you have one or not, but you know, Luke's Gospel, it's got to be right close to the top for me, if not at the top. I just love Luke, the way he tells the stories and explains the footsteps of Jesus as he moves through what we call the New Testament. I will just remind you that the passage that we're going to read this morning in Luke chapter 8 is also recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and also recorded in Mark chapter 5. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke will all give information to the same story. So sometime when you're reading through your New Testament, and especially the first three Gospels, you know, or you recognize, you go, "Oh, I read that story before." And then you're reading a little farther in Mark, and you go, "Oh, I recognize that. I read that in Matthew." And then the next thing you know, you're in Luke, and you say, "Oh, I heard that story before. It was in Matthew and in Mark." And I just remind you that the first three Gospels give us what we might call a stereo view of the Lord Jesus. They actually cover the life of Christ from his birth to the ascension. His life as he walked the shores of Galilee and the dusty streets of Jerusalem, as he spends nights on a mountain, as he walks through the deserts of Jericho or near Jericho, as he sails on the Sea of Galilee. It's quite a story. If you want to get to know the Lord Jesus, just read those Gospels, and of course John included, but the first three just go over them and many times repeat. Not exactly the same information, which is interesting. It's like adding information. As we read the three stories this morning that we're going to look at, we'll get Matthew's account, Mark's account, and Luke's account, and we'll piece that together, if you will allow me to inject things that the one may leave out, the other puts it in, and it gives us some greater detail. Now, Parables are wonderful things. The Lord Jesus often speaks in parables, doesn't always speak in parables, but he often speaks in parables and often tells stories, stories about people whose names we know. One of the most famous stories in the Bible is about a little man named Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a tree when Jesus was coming by one day. He wanted to see him. He wanted to learn more about him. He had heard about the Lord Jesus, and he was a short man, a little man, and he couldn't see the Lord for the crowd that was around him. And so he found a vantage point. It was in a tree, of all places. And he climbs up in a tree, and when Jesus passed by, he wanted to get a good look at him. And that day changed Zacchaeus' life. That tree was a vantage point for him to see Jesus. Now, maybe you may be in the meeting for the first time this morning. You may have come to this chapel often. If I could so make a connection, your being here at the 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel might be your vantage point this morning. Maybe you're seeking the Lord. Maybe you want to know who Jesus is. And so this meeting is a place where Jesus is coming by. He's going to make his presence known among us here this morning. And you're here hoping to see Jesus, of course, not physically, necessarily in the flesh, as we would say, but to learn about him. Who is he? He's the Son of God who left heaven, who came on a mission to seek and save that which is lost. And you've heard something about him. You'd like to know more about him. You'd like to understand what he has done for you and how you can enjoy that or accept that or believe that. So perhaps this morning, this is your sycamore tree, if I could put it that way. This is your vantage point. There's another story about another man. His name was Nicodemus. We read that in John chapter 3. He was a religious person. He was a teacher of the Old Testament law system among the Jewish people. And the Bible says he came to Jesus by night. We're not sure why he came by night. Maybe it was because he was a very busy man in the day, teaching in the synagogues and so forth. Maybe he was embarrassed. Jesus did have a bit of a reputation, and maybe he was embarrassed to come to Jesus in the daylight hours. I'm not sure why he came at night, but he came by night, and the same thing. He wanted to know who Jesus was. He said, "We know you're a man come from God. No one could do the miracles that you do except God be with him." And so these two men represent for us men who are seeking the Lord. Now, I'm assuming, as Harold's already suggested this morning, that you're not at the beach today, or you're not sitting home watching TV today. You're here at the Gospel Chapel because you're seeking the Lord in some way. Maybe you're a believer and you're discouraged. You need to be encouraged. You're hoping to find something that would encourage you today. Maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian just yet, that you need to hear more about God and about his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so you've come to seek Jesus today. So whether by way of type or picture or simile, this is your night to come to Jesus. This is your sycamore tree to see Jesus, who he is. I'm going to read another story about the Lord Jesus and about, are you listening now, a no name person. this person doesn't have a name. Now, I'm holding a book here in my hand. It's entitled All the Men of the Bible by Mr. Lockyer is his name. And here's another book similar to that, All the Women of the Bible. I have another one on the shelf behind me, All the Children of the Bible. And Mr. Lockyer has done a wonderful study. If you run into any person in the Bible as you're reading, and you might say, well, who is that? I have never heard of that person before. Mr. Lockyer probably has a comment or two about that person, whatever the scriptures say. But having said that, there are thousands of unnamed people in the Bible. They just don't have names. The scripture doesn't call them by name. They just say there was a man, or there was a woman, or let the little children, we don't know their names, come to me. And Luke in particular, well, the three Gospels in particular, often speak about people without names. And we're just going to call them people without names, just nobodies. They don't have names. But let me clarify that for a moment. These people that don't have names mentioned in the scripture, God knows their name. Isn't that neat? Isn't that nice? Listen to me. There are no nobodies with the Lord. Now, we're going to read about a nobody this morning. And you may be thinking about yourself. You may be thinking, well, I'm just a nobody. Nobody really knows me. I don't have much of a family, or I'm not going to be on the news tonight, or nobody's given me any rewards or awards for anything. And I'm just virtually unknown to the world. Dear friend, please, you're not unknown to God. He knows you. He's created you. He's got a plan for your life. And as we look at the story of a woman who doesn't have a name, we're going to see how a nobody became a somebody who went and told everybody. Watch your Bible, please. And let me read for you, beginning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 43. Now a woman, if we were to read this account in the Gospel of Mark, Mark says it like this, there was a certain woman. I like that. So here we are, now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. I'm going to pause there for a moment and say, in Mark's account, it said she couldn't be healed by any, but she got worse. So she spent everything she's had, and she's not getting better, she's getting worse. Verse 44, this woman came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Now that would be the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is passing through in this area, and this woman has made her way to the street, to the pathway where this Lord Jesus is passing through. Verse 44, came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of her blood stopped. Now, whatever this flow of blood was, it was a debilitating disease. There was probably some kind of internal leakage in her system, and she's just pining away, getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And it's been 12 years since she's had this. And immediately when she touched the hem or the garment of the Lord Jesus, it stopped. And she knew it. Verse 45, and so did Jesus know it. Look at this. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, that is the people, Peter and those that were with him said, Master, there's a lot of people here. There's a multitude of people, and they're all around you. They're touching you. They're pressing in on you. And you said, who touched me? As though to say, are you kidding? A lot of people have touched you. And verse 46, but Jesus said, notice the language, somebody. Oh, we went from a nobody to a no-name person in verse 43, a woman, a certain woman, a no-named woman, a nobody woman now has become, Jesus said, somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me. Verse 47. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort, be of good cheer, your faith has made you well, go in peace. Now, I think you understand my little outline. A nobody becomes a somebody who told everybody. She declared before him in the presence of all of the people. Now, this is not a hard story to follow in your mind. Picture it. There's a dear soul, and she's sick. She's very sick. She's been sick for 12 years, and she's not gotten any better. The language in verse 43 is she's broke. You see that? She didn't have any more money. She's out. I tell you how I would understand that. If she had anything in the beginning, she sold it now. Whatever savings she had, she spent it on doctors. Whatever cash she could sell furniture, perhaps out of her house or any properties that she might have had, she spent it all now. She sold it all. She spent it all. And as Mark would record for us, she spent it on doctors. And she didn't get any better. She got worse. If I were to, in my mind, draw a picture of this lady, I see her very thin, very sick, very weak. Perhaps at this point, it's only my imagination now, perhaps at this point, a friend has taken her in. Maybe she doesn't have a home anymore. She doesn't have an apartment anymore. Maybe she doesn't even have a bed anymore. She's taken anything that might have had any value in her life, hoping that the doctors would help her, but she only got worse. But then something very interesting happens to her. When Luke tells the story, he simply says in verse 44, she came behind him and touched his garment. Now, Mark helps us. He fills in the blank here a little bit. In Mark chapter 5, you know what Mark says? Listen to me. When she heard about the Lord Jesus. I like that. I like that. You see, there's a rumor, there's gossip, there's talk in the town. This man called Jesus of Nazareth, he's healing the blind, he's the lame are walking, people are being raised from the dead. He's doing miracles, and he has a reputation. And at some point, in desperation, this woman who has nothing now, absolutely nothing, spent everything, she's in a desperate position, condition, she heard about this man. And in her mind, she is thinking, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get to Jesus. See, in the progression of the story, it's kind of like this. First of all, she has a need. Second of all, she takes everything that she owns and has to try to meet that need. She spent it all, but on doctors, but she only got worse. But now she hears about, and she doesn't even know this yet, she hears about the great physician. She hears about a man who is capable of healing the sick. And so as she hears about this man, she has a plan. She says, if I could just meet him, if I could just get to him. And so in an almost divine appointment way, she ends up on a crowded village street. And as the crowd is pressing him, that's what Peter and the disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you, you know. On that crowded village street, there is a very sick soul who is desperate for help. And I can almost see her reaching between the people. Jesus is passing by, and she's reaching out. And as he passes by, she can only touch the hem of his garment as he goes by. She heard, and she touched. And in verse 44, she was healed immediately. Can you imagine that? Well, 12 years, nothing has happened. I hear about this man. I have nothing left. I have no hope. I got one hope. Jesus is passing by. This crowded village street is her tree to see who Jesus is her night to go and find out who Jesus is, like Zacchaeus and like Nicodemus. In this crowd, she reaches through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment. You can see it. I'm sure that you can see the scene. And as she touches him, she feels it. All of a sudden, she knows. Well, she's not the only one that knows. She was healed. And Jesus knows. In Mark's account and Matthew's account, the disciples said, well, of course, everybody's touching you. He said, no, I don't mean that. Look at verse 46. I perceive power has gone out from me. This is not everybody touching him just to say, I touched Jesus when he came by. This was a touch of faith. Are you with me? This woman said, if I could just get to him. Her reaching out through that crowd, touching the hem of his garment, are you listening, was an act of faith. She heard about the Lord Jesus. She believed that Jesus could help her. Her reaching out and touching the hem of his garment was an act of faith in him, and she was healed immediately. Now, the Lord Jesus said power went out, not like all these other people. This was a touch of faith. This was a touch of hope. This was a touch of a woman seeking the Lord, and she's found him and found salvation and found healing in the Lord. Now, notice what happens. Verse 47, the woman saw she was not hidden. I'm assuming at this point Jesus stops, okay? So he's walking along, she touches the hem of his garment, he stops, the crowd stops, everybody stops. He said, somebody touch me. And they're going, yeah, yeah, everybody. No, he said, no, no, this is different. Someone's exercised faith and power, healing, forgiving power has gone out of me. And somebody has touched me in a different way than other people are touching me. And as he says, I perceive power has gone out. Somebody has touched me. Again, this is my imagination. I think his eyes and the woman's eyes meet. Yeah, maybe that's just conjecture. I don't know. But look what she says. When the woman saw she was not hidden, I think he pointed her out. I think he found her out. I think he said, maybe he didn't point, but he looked at her right and says, somebody's touched me because power's gone out. And she goes, oh my goodness, he knows me. He knows who I am. Jesus said, somebody. That nobody became a somebody right there. Someone who the Lord had a plan for their life. And the woman saw she couldn't be hidden. So she came. He didn't say, come to me. She voluntarily now goes to him in verse 47. She came trembling and falling down. You can almost see her weeping at his feet, trembling. And she told the whole story. She said, let me go back 12 years ago and tell you the first time I felt weak and I knew something was wrong. And day after day, year after year, I got worse and worse and worse. And she gives, if I could put it this way, she gives her testimony right up to the present time, right to the very moment that all this happens. And everything came to a great crescendo today. And she said, just 2 minutes ago, I reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and I've been healed. So that nobody who became a somebody told everybody in the crowd that day what happened to her. In verse 48, Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now this story is for our benefit. This story is for us to relate to. Dear friend, everybody in the auditorium this morning, everybody on Zoom this morning, everybody in Vancouver, everybody in Canada, everybody in the world has a terminal disease. It's not an issue of blood flowing. It's not the pining away of heart condition or cancer, which are all terrible diseases. This is a disease called sin. Sin is to act contrary to a good, loving, kind, righteous Father in heaven, God. Is to take a holy God and to offend him by disobeying him, by going our own independent way. It started with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And as one man brought sin into the world, the Bible is very clear, sin is passed unto all men and death. That's the reason people die. If there was no sin in the world, nobody'd die. Sin brought death, and death is not just physical, it is spiritual, it is eternal, and it separates us from God. So could I say the big disease, the big problem, the big one is sin in our lives? At some point, this woman realized she had a problem. What's the next thing she did? She tried to get help. Do you know what usually happens when you get convicted that you're not right with God, something is wrong, you seek to fix it. You go to your own doctors, and I don't mean medical doctors, I don't mean physical doctors, I mean, we try to heal ourselves. We try to fix the sin problem. Maybe you have tried Dr. Reformation. You just need a new start. You just need to reform. If you could just get a better start, that would really help you. Maybe it's the doctor of relaxation. You convince yourself, I got a problem because I've been working too hard. That's my problem. And Dr. Relaxation says, you need a long vacation. You need to relax, and you're too stressful in your life. Or maybe you go to Dr. Religion. You know, maybe I need to go to church. Maybe I need religion. And you go to Dr. Reformation and Dr. Relaxation and Dr. Religion, but you don't get any better. You know why? Because they can't cure the problem of sin. Religion is man-made. You know what Christianity is? Not religion. Religion is man on earth trying to get to heaven, all of his efforts to get to heaven, all of his works. True Christianity is God stepping out of heaven, coming down to man in the person of Jesus Christ to seek and to save you. And when he finds you, he says, you got a terminal problem. It's called sin. But I can cure that sin. I can take that sin on my body, and I can die instead of you on a cross and give my life as a substitute for your life. I can save you from sin. I can save you from eternal separation from God. I can give you an inheritance. You can join the family of God. You can have the guarantee of the Lord being with you on earth, and the guarantee when you die, you'll be with him in heaven forever. That's not religion. That's God's plan of salvation. And he's got a plan for your life. So the sinner tries to save himself. The next thing we know, she heard of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you about him. He's the most wonderful person you have ever met in your life. He loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he offers salvation. Listen, are you listening? To as many as receive him, believe on him, trust him. The act of faith with this woman was she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. The act of faith for you here this morning is to agree with God. I'm the sinner. Christ is the Savior, and I accept him as my own personal Savior. He died for me, was buried for me, rose again for me, and he's coming back for me. I want the great physician to be my personal Savior. And then you know what the woman did? She told everybody. You see, this is our privilege as Christians. I'll tell you by experience, and those of you that are saved, you know this. When you get saved, when you really understand that the Lord has saved you, and you have peace in your heart, and you know it's true, do you know what you want to do? You want to go tell somebody. That's what this woman did. She told all the people that was there, everybody that was there, she told the whole story. Believers, we need to go and tell the story to those around us. Her sins were forgiven. She told what had happened. And notice the last verse, 48, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You want to go in peace this morning? You want to know all is well with your soul between you and God? Well, this story explains it so clear to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, if you know you're not saved, or if you need some more information, if you want somebody to pray with you, encourage you, explain more to you. There's somebody in this auditorium this morning that knows the Lord Jesus. They will be more than happy to pray with you and encourage you right where you are. Let's pray. Father, in your mercy and grace, if there's any nobodies, we pray today that Jesus might say, they are somebody, I know them. They have come through life. They have sought me. They have reached out by faith and touched me. And they're going to go in peace today and in comfort their soul today, because they have trusted me. They've exercised faith. Lord, please help some weary soul, some weary sinner, to put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus today. And Father, for those who know you, encourage us not to go home without sharing our faith with somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.